Now for two films that opened in cinemas last Friday. We're going to talk about a new Irish film called Middletown and a Scottish film called Red Road, which won the Grand Jury Prize at Cannes earlier this year. Harvey O'Brien from UCD's Centre for Film Studies and Suzanne Campbell went to see those films on your behalf and join me now to discuss them. Harvey, let's talk about Middletown first. What was this film about?
Okay, well, this is a story of two brothers in the north of Ireland in a fairly indeterminate period, but it looks a bit like the early 60s.
Four poplars must be the 60s, yeah.
And basically, one of them goes into the priesthood, the other one stays at home to run the garage with his father. As years go by, the town seems to descend into kind of iniquity in general until the other brother comes home and becomes the reverend in the local church and literally brings fire and brimstone to get the house in order, as they say. And it's about a conflict between different ways of seeing the world and between brothers.
Unlike a normal film, it's a Protestant priest we have here.
It is.
A non-Catholic one at any rate.
It is, and that's quite a refreshing turn of events really, because we've seen a lot of films in Ireland, I mean, over the last 30 years about mad Catholic priests and orphanages and terrible things going on and clerical abuse and this and that and the other. So it's quite a refreshing change. He's a Presbyterian. He's very much cut from the same stone as Dear Ian Paisley, though, in that regard, it's kind of familiar territory, and he literally says, you know, brimstone, and kind of rails and rages against the habits of the villagers in terms of their attendance at his church, their gambling, their drinking, and he sets about pushing them on the right track.
There's not too much wrong with this town. A bit of diesel smuggling, cockfighting, a few pints of a Sunday. What would get him so het up?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, one of the problems with the film is it's very difficult to tell whether or not that this character, Gabriel, was insane to begin with, or if it was his training that made him insane and refused to allow him to see the world as anything other than what it should be in the good book. Because as a child, he has almost no personality. He's completely blank, and then he's taken away. And when he comes back, he's completely the man of God. And what he strictly does is, of course, take the Bible at its word, and that people who have a lust for violence, i.e., you know, supporting cockfighting, are bad, and therefore I should get rid of them. There's a key scene in the film where he goes into the church looking for guidance, and he's really frustrated, and he starts flicking through the pages of the Bible, and the only words that pop out at him are vengeance, justice, death. So that's how he sees that particular book. So it's his interpretation of the world. But we don't know where that's coming from in that sense.
What was it? Was the deterioration of this character, this priest who comes back with the will of God or to do the work of God, and he deteriorated into a madman over the length of the film into a total lula? Was it gradual enough? Was it credible?
I don't think so. I don't think he had enough dimensions to him to start off with. As Harvey says, he's a bit of a blank canvas at the beginning. He comes back with sort of this mono characteristic of wanting to clean up everybody's act, wanting to change them into good Christians. And really, there's no sense of any kind of other reflection on this from him, or any ties to his family, any kind of other emotional sides to him. So it's very, really one-dimensional, and he goes further down that rabbit burrow as the film goes on in a more and more intense and sort of heavy-handed, I felt at times, way. And that starts losing you in the second half of the film, because he becomes too crazy to believe, basically.
Would you agree?
Well, it's a film about extremism. It's a film about extreme views. And actually, you know, as I was saying to the researcher earlier on, one of the things that was interesting about it was that even though we're looking at this from the point of view of Christianity, in the current climate with all the hysteria about Islam, we can ask some of the same questions about exactly how you interpret your faith and exactly what boundaries you're supposed to cross. Neither the Bible nor the Quran is inherently a violent book, but if you read it in a certain way, it is. So this character takes those extreme elements of the good book and uses this to fuel his own madness. So yes, it becomes more and more extreme, to the point that that is what the film is about. It becomes a hysterical melodrama. Literally, the wrath of God descends on the town and there are flames. And this is the theory, or this is the thesis of the film, so it follows it through. It's too extreme to tie into as a drama. You can't look at it as a drama. You really have to look at it as this kind of metaphor or as a discussion of religion. And on that level, it's fine, but you know, it's not a film where you're going to be interested in what's happening to these people.
Somebody was asking me the other day, now, if this was a Belgian film or a French film, would we be talking about it?
I'm not quite so sure, because I think the descent into the sort of madness or the journey that he goes on happens too quickly, and it happens in an unrealistic way. The characters are too thinly drawn. If, as Harvey is saying, it's really a message about fundamentalism and about religious beliefs, fair enough. But as a story, as a narrative where you really care about the individuals involved, they really do lose you halfway through it, because it just kind of, it's like it wants to draw to its crazy, you know, flame driven climax too quickly, and it doesn't really get there in the right way.
It moved quite slow for me, and it was a bit dragged and dreary, you know.
Well, that's partly to do with the lack of dimensions of the characters, because there's nothing going on. They're so obviously metaphors, they're ciphers, they stand there and they do their thing. And this was, if it was maybe a French or a Belgian film, there might be a little, you know, something going on in the characters, and you might actually be interested in what's going on with them. But here you just follow it straight through.
So as a metaphor, it didn't work. Red Road. Tell me about Red Roads.
Red Roads, a film about a Scottish character who's a female CCTV surveillance operator. So we first meet her when she's sitting in front of a big bank of monitors, which are looking down at traffic in Glasgow and people going about their daily business on street corners and housing estates. And we realise earlier on in the film that she's bereaved. Her husband and child have died in circumstances that we don't know of, but we know they're dead. And she's quite an empty life. She becomes entranced with the characters that she sees in her CCTV. She follows different people cleaning offices late at night, having flirtations, walking a dog that's clearly ill and dying. And she kind of follows them every day. And then we realise her attention is caught by this character in particular, this unsavoury geezer, if you like, from Tower Block, who's been in jail, who's prone to picking up women and kind of having his wicked way with them behind petrol stations. So he's not a very nice fella. She becomes slightly obsessed with him. And it's this obsession and this chasing of him that becomes the core of the next hour or two of the film. We know that he had a hand in her husband's and wife's, or her husband and child's death. We don't know exactly what were the circumstances. So it then becomes a game of suspense where we're waiting to see how close she's going to dare to get to him and what she's going to find out about her husband's death.
A thriller, Harvey?
Thriller. Thriller is more a description of a kind of feeling you're supposed to get from a film. There's very few thrills in Red Road.
Even the explicit sex?
Oh, yeah, well, there's explicit sex, all right. And then that really is the sort of key moment in the film, because the film is really about moving from observing life to being part of life. And that's what happens. She starts off looking at these CCTV monitors. By the end of the film, she's on the monitors. She's in the world. And it's about kind of finding a way to connect with reality again when you've been cut off from it. It has some of the structure of a thriller, but it doesn't have the generic markers of a thriller. One of the things that kept going through my head was this reminded me, funnily enough, of Rear Window, where you actually combine Grace Kelly and James Stewart. She's the one character because she's both observing and she's on the other side, you know, doing that stuff. So it has certain thriller elements to it, but it isn't about suspense on that level. It is more sort of on that deeper dramatic level, trying to talk about looking and seeing and how we see the world.
This is an experimental film, is it? It's part of some of a project, and it's hailed as part of it.
It's kind of it comes out of the Dogma tradition, which is a kind of a Copenhagen group of directors in the mid-90s decided to make these very minimalistic films where there'd be no inappropriate music or no big sound effects, no costuming or props other than what would be found in the real location if you were to shoot there. And they put a very defined set of rules, and Lars von Trier would be one of the exponents of this. But what happened with this film, it came out of a movement called Advanced Party, where a Danish group of directors gave this director, Andrea Arnold, a group of characters. She had to write a script around them. These characters will then appear in three more films, all made by Scottish directors. So it was under tight parameters, but she made quite a good story. It's quite an accomplished film. I mean, this woman is no slouch at filmmaking. She won an Oscar for her first short. And I think she delivers. It could be, the pace is a little bit slow at times, but it's an interesting, very adult film.
Better than Middleton and Nemeth.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Anyways, thanks very much to Harvey O'Brien, Suzanne Campbell for going along to review those two films for us. Red Road is on the IFI and Cineworld in Dublin, the Kino in Cork, and Middleton is at selected cinemas nationwide. Luke Clancy joins us now. He's been to see the Image Now Gallery on Dublin's New Bride Street and the exhibition in Mono. Tell us about this exhibition.
Well, it's inspired by a British-based website called blanker.co.uk, and what they're trying to do, they're kind of a reservoir of supposedly great graphic work down through the ages, collectible posters and film posters, theatre posters and advertising that's become quite collectible in a design culture way. And they've now started to produce, like a lot of design companies have, started to commission themselves to do work and commission other designers to do work for the pure purpose of producing design objects. So they've produced this exhibition called Mono, in which they've invited 28 very well-known British and international designers and design companies to create an A1, very large scale, image in black and white.
It's fascinating to look at. There's a broad range of different styles and techniques used, and it's initially, when you look at it, it seems to be very monochrome, I suppose. But then when you look more detailed, it's very fine work.
Yeah, it's funny. It's a funny way to kind of enjoy the work in a gallery, because it's mainly, I think this exhibition was seen in London earlier, and was, as well as having a gallery component, each of the posters was put in a different venue around the city, so that you kind of encountered that piece of design as a piece of the world. And that kind of, for me, makes more sense with design than actually entering into a gallery. And it does give you the opportunity you're talking about to kind of lean up close to some of the images and see that, you know, see a great degree of craft that you're not going to see when you see an advertising poster passing by, and enjoy it on that level. But I think in the gallery here, you have 28 pictures, and some of them are hung kind of 10 feet off ground. Yeah. So you're not able to enjoy them all in the same way.
No, I didn't enjoy the way they were laid out, but I certainly enjoyed the work in them. That's about it now for tonight, lads and ladies and gentlemen. We have to go. So thank you very much, Luke Clancy, for being with us. I'm talking about the say the name again, the exhibition again.
Mono. It's called An Exhibition in Mono.
An Exhibition in Mono. And it's on the Image Gallery, Image Now Gallery in Dublin's New Brightspit. Thank you very much.